All right. Good evening. It's good to see you here. I know I'd be ungrateful on my part if I didn't take this opportunity to express appreciation for you being here. I'm very appreciative of Andre for the sermon that he presented this morning. May 11th, 2014, he presented a sermon on Job, and he mentioned that this morning, and the thoughts he presented today were equally as good and very thoughtful. He is a very thoughtful person and worthy of our great respect, and I appreciate his lesson. I'm going to present a lesson tonight that was presented, 646 weeks ago on February 23rd, 2005. There were 23 people here that day. And, you know, I think there may be only one person that remembers it because Tracy said she enjoyed that sermon that day, so she may remember the lesson, but we'll see. And Charles has said that to wake him up when this is over, he thinks I'll be a long-winded preacher maybe tonight. I'm going to encourage you not to go to sleep because this isn't going to take long. I'm going to follow the Charles Clark Larry Vaughn School of Preaching and speak up and then sit down. As we begin tonight, what do you think when I say the name Daniel? Do you think of a young man that had some friends named Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, or maybe we called them Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, who stood up for their beliefs and survived? You'll recall they refused to defile themselves with the food of Nebuchadnezzar, and God blessed them richly in Daniel 1:17. When I say Daniel, do you think about these young men, or do you think perhaps about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being cast into a fire because of their way of standing for the truth and surviving? When I say Daniel, do you think about the man himself who spent a night in a lion's den? Regardless of which of these scenarios that might be something you'd think of when I say the word Daniel, I would suggest to you that the man Daniel is a worthy person to consider. And I would ask you tonight for just a few moments if you would dare to be a Daniel yourself. First, let's go down a path and ask you, let's go forward. What does the word success mean to you? Have you ever wanted to be successful? What would you do to be successful? Does it mean that you're going to have good grades? Does it mean you're going to be a good parent or grandparent? Does it mean you're a good employee? Does it mean financial results or emotional highs, organizational focus, some personal accomplishment? Maybe even something different than one of these. I went to our favorite research tool of today, the Internet, and searched on the word and found in that yellow circle up there 1,320,000,000 results for the word success. Of course, I didn't look at all of those. I picked only the site called success.com, and I found an article about 7 life truths I wish I knew sooner, secrets to a healthy relationship, 13 things mentally strong people don't do, and a host of other articles, suggestions, tips, and so on regarding how to be successful. That's just one site out of the billion and 300 plus million sites. And illustrates the truth that people want to be successful and they try a great many different approaches to learn how to be successful, regardless of which self-help book, article, or internet site you go to. I suggest there's a better place to go to learn to be a success. I suggest that you turn to the Word of God and base your life on that if you want to learn the lessons of success. Tonight, let's consider Daniel to see how to be successful. Because Daniel was a man who didn't compromise his principles. As we study I again ask you to think. Would you dare to be a Daniel yourself? The Bible is filled with accounts of many godly men and women who are worthy of our emulation. All through today, as I knew I was going to speak about Daniel tonight, the song kept going through my mind, Dare to Stand Like Joshua. And I was afraid that I'd get up and start talking about Joshua instead of Daniel. But there are many men in the Bible that we could aspire to be similar to and have some of their traits. One such person, though, tonight is Daniel, a man who obtained preeminence and power in his lifetime. He started out preeminent among the children of Israel in Daniel 1, 3 through 6. He gained preeminence among the wise men of Babylon in Daniel 1, 17 through 20. He was given power over all of Babylon in Daniel 2, 48 to 49 in the 5th chapter, verse 29. He received similar power in the Medo-Persian Empire, Daniel 6, 1 through 3 in verse 28. How was Daniel able to reach these positions of power and influence without compromising his position as a godly man? Well, I think a close look at the book of Daniel reveals his secrets and shows how he was able to be successful without selling out his soul. The question we must consider, again, repetition, 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 you'll remember it. Will you dare to be a Daniel? The alternative title might be, How to Enjoy Success Without Compromise. I would suggest to you that Daniel was a man of purpose. As the book of Daniel opens, we see Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has just conquered Jerusalem. And Daniel, the first chapter, verses 3 through 5, it says, Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Verse 6, Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials they might not defile himself. Daniel was a young boy in a strange land, and he was immediately faced with a challenge to violate God's law by eating the king's food. Despite his youth and the obvious pressure to conform, Daniel 1:8 tells us that Daniel purposed in his heart, King James Version, or made up his mind in the New American Standard, to uphold the law of God no matter the cost. What was the result of Daniel standing for God? Verse 9 says that because of his willingness to put God first, God granted Daniel favor in the sight of others. How God did this is not explained, but it happened in the case of Joseph back in Genesis 39, 1 through 4 and 21 through 23. By putting God first, God blessed Joseph in such a favorable way that he impressed others as well. Daniel was granted favor by God. What's the application for us? The point for each of us is that every child of God needs to be a person of purpose. No one respects a wishy-washy person, someone with no direction in their lives. Instead, a strong sense of purpose often breeds respect and admiration from others. What should be the purpose of each of us as Christians? Jesus makes it clear in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33, when he says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to you." Our job is to seek the will of God and fulfill it in our lives, no matter the circumstances. As Jesus promised, this will guarantee God's favor toward us, and in turn, likely gain us favor in the eyes of others around about us. So, will you dare to be a Daniel and be a person with purpose like he had? No matter, let's see where we went. There we go. I can't tell where I am. There we go. Excuse me. Will you dare to be a person of purpose like Daniel? No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, it's not too late to begin to stand like Daniel and do, as we sing so often in the song, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We sing it. Are they mere words? Or are they a way we should live? Christ said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first his kingdom." I would suggest also to you that Daniel was a man of principle. He wasn't just a man of purpose. He had his principle, which we see because he refused to compromise his convictions. As a young man, he refused to eat the king's meat or drink his wine in Daniel 1:8. He refused to compromise. As an older man, he refused the gifts of Belshazzar in Daniel, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 17. Under the threat of persecution, by refusing to obey the decree of Darius in 610, he refused to compromise. Daniel was a man of principle. Who needs to be men of principle and women of principle today? Each of us. By way of application, people admire persons of principle. Outwardly, they may ridicule us, but inwardly, they wish they had the same intestinal fortitude to take a stand and live with it. And when they need someone that can be trusted, who are they going to turn to? Who are they going to depend upon to carry through an assigned task? Who do you think they're going to turn toward? They'll turn to a person of principle. God admires people of principle who, like Daniel, will stand for what they believe in. In Psalm, the 15th chapter, the first five verses, we read, this is not friendly with Larry tonight. "O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works with righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He does these things. He who does these things will never be shaken." Our society is in great need of people of principle. If you don't believe it, look at the politics of today. Those who dare to be a Daniel and demonstrate by example the value of being led by principle rather than by price are not only highly valued by God, but are also highly respected by men. Will we dare to be like Daniel? Will we be people of principle? But having principle and purpose are not all. Another element for true success is needed. What element that is can be seen as we observe Daniel throughout his life. Daniel not only had a strong sense of purpose, not only did he display great principle, but he was also a person of purity. In Daniel, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 4, we read, "It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one. that these satraps might be accountable to them and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence of corruption was to be found in him. Daniel was faultless in his management of his business affairs. This helps explain how he rose to positions of great power and responsibility. Of course, Daniel's purity in business was based on his overall purpose to please God and the fact that a man of principle can be trusted. By application, what about us as Christians? A Christian is a person that should be pure as well in their conduct, in their daily life, in their actions, whether young or old, whether slave or free. The Christian is to conduct himself with purity. In 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity, show yourself an example to those who believe. In Titus, the 2nd chapter, verses 6 through 8, likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. In Titus 2, verses 9 through 10, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. People who maintain purity in their dealings with others are often given positions of great responsibility and privilege because they can be trusted to use that responsibility and position wisely. Will you dare to be like Daniel and be a person of purity? Yes, Daniel was a man of purpose. He was a man of principle. He was a man of purity. And the world needs more people like Daniel. Finally, the element that likely ties all of these together in such a way to receive blessings from God and favor from man is the fact that Daniel was a man of prayer. In Daniel, the 6th chapter, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew the document was signed, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had a window open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. He continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. In this brief glimpse of Daniel's prayer life, we see that Daniel knelt in prayer. That suggests to me that Daniel is a humble man. This verse tells us that he prayed 3 times daily. Who did Daniel depend upon? God. Daniel gave thanks in the midst of persecution. This is a demonstration of Daniel's gratitude and the fact that he did not lose sight of God's blessings even in a time of difficulty. What did Andre say this morning? Christians are going to suffer. Christians are going to face persecution. Daniel was doing that. He had difficulty. He was being persecuted for his beliefs. What did Daniel do? Like Job in Andre's lesson they taught us this morning, Daniel turned to God. He was a man of prayer. Daniel's prayers were as he had been doing previously. That's the New American Standard. The King James Version says they were a custom since early days. This demonstrates it wasn't a prayer just during a time of crisis. Daniel was a man of prayer. He was persistent in prayer. He was faithful in his service to God. Is it not likely Daniel's custom to pray so diligently helped him remain a man of purpose, a man of principle, a man of purity? Despite his rise to power, his prominence in front of the people and over the empire, what have I asked you more than once? Are you prepared to dare to be a Daniel in regard to your prayer life? As we come toward the end of the sermon, will you dare to be a Daniel? There's a false assumption that to get ahead in this world and to be a success, that you have to conform to the sinful practices of the world. However, even today there are many Christians who dare to be like Daniel in the way they live. They succeed by being people who have purpose, by being people with principle, by being people who live lives of purity, being people who are prayerful. They do this without selling their souls. They do this by remaining focused on serving and pleasing God. May it ever be our purpose as individuals and as a congregation to serve and please God. Amen. Will you dare to be a Daniel, living a life of principle, purity, purpose, and prayerfulness? To be a Daniel requires effort. It requires focus. In the words of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the first and second verses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is coming. We're going to get to go home. Don't you want to go home to heaven? Have you learned about Jesus, and do you want to receive Christ as Lord? Have you heard the word and believed? A person wanting to put on Christ does so by repenting of their sins, confessing that Jesus is Lord, by being baptized for the remission of their sins. Acts 2:28, Galatians 3:26, 27 teach us this is so. If you want to begin your walk as a Christian tonight, expressing your belief in Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is Lord, being baptized into his death, wishing to continue to live thereafter a faithful life, or if you need to return to the Lord, tonight is the perfect occasion for you to dare to begin to live like Daniel. Won't you come as we stand to sing?